News Talk ZB.
Good evening. It is now 6:07. Well, 5:07, should I say. The government and Defence Force are trying to help ease the disruption from the damaged oil pipeline between Marsden Point and Auckland Airport. Energy Minister Judith Collins says the biggest concern is around the lack of jet fuel, and there's no issue around shortage of fuel for motorists at this stage. The naval tanker HMNZS Endeavour will be used to transport diesel from Marsden Point, and the military will also provide up to 20 tanker drivers to help local operators with their increased workload. The pipeline is Auckland Airport's sole source of fuel. It burst on Thursday and has led to a fuel shortage that's forcing the cancellation of scores of flights. Prime Minister Bill English says airlines, fuel providers and the government are trying to sort out the issue as quickly as possible.
They need to look at, go back and look at the second pipeline. All the other alternative that they've been examining more recently, I understand, is significantly greater storage at the airport.
Some have criticised that there is no second pipeline for cases like this one, but Refining NZ Chief Executive Sword Post says a second pipeline isn't viable. It would be very expensive and airline passengers would have to pay for it through increased fares.
Yes, you can have that redundant infrastructure, but it is going to cost about 30 to 35 million per year. Who's going to sort of let you get away with that for an asset that you may never use?
Labour Party leader Jacinda Ardern said the government's lack of action has contributed to the jet fuel crisis at Auckland Airport. She says in 2012, Air New Zealand suggested extra storage was needed at the Wiri terminal, but the government only made minor changes.
It does look like that infrastructure was critical and needed, and certainly we're seeing the upshot of that infrastructure not existing. We need to make sure that we're resilient.
So, bigger storage, a new pipeline, what exactly do we need? Stephen Selwood is the Chief Executive of Infrastructure New Zealand, and he is with me. And good evening, sir.
Good evening, Mary.
The idea of a second pipe, viable or not?
Yeah, look, I think it's unlikely to be viable. I mean, you should never say never, and it's definitely one of the options that should be considered. But what we absolutely need, and it's clearly illustrated, is we need a much better plan B than what we've had. I mean, we're busy scrambling around at the moment to find solutions. You know, they should have been in our hip pocket to be able to roll out immediately there was a disruption.
Right, so is it the pipeline or storage? Which is the issue? Which is the key issue here?
Look, I think storage would have been the logical solution. There's a whole bunch of issues that this identifies. We needed more storage. We needed more ability to be able to bring trucks, and not only trucks, and trained drivers online quickly to address the issue when it arose. Clearly, there needed to be much better asset management of the corridor that the pipe runs in for the disruption to be occurred in the first place. I mean, the signage appears to have been inadequate. And how on earth this project ever got consented, ever if it was applied for, is another question that needs to be asked as well. So, you know, ultimately, we've got to make sure that if we're not providing redundancy in our infrastructure pipelines or networks, then we have to have a fast response plan that is ready and willing and able to roll out quickly, and we clearly have been caught short here.
What do you think was dodgy with the consent then? Why shouldn't it have been consented?
Well, it just seems unusual that someone would have the ability to work close to a corridor like this and have approval, assuming that the operator had approval, or even the lack of inspection, because it appears from what we've heard through the media to date anyway that this has been a long-standing issue. So why on earth wasn't the risk identified earlier and addressed earlier?
What would it take, what would it need to happen, I suppose, to get increased storage facilities?
Well, this comes down to, obviously, you would have to get planning consent, there'd have to be appropriate land provision, and arguably storage by itself would also need at least a line from that storage depot close to the or another line, if you like, but obviously a much shorter one from that additional storage to the airport. So all of those sorts of factors would need to be considered. And look, the reality is, getting consents for storage silos for fuel would be a very difficult process under the RMA, and I suspect that's one of the reasons why we kind of are where we are.
It must be stored somewhere right now, though, correct?
Yes, so there are storage silos out by Wiri in South Auckland. Obviously, that, you know, they're part of the solution, the fact that we do have at least some supply, but clearly nowhere near enough. And, you know, if you don't do storage, then pipeline becomes the only real other major solution. And but that's likely to be much more expensive, and ultimately it comes down to you and I. Are we prepared to pay the price when it comes to our airfares?
Yes, but whose deal is this? Who is responsible for this? Because Refining New Zealand, this is a private company.
Yeah, look, I think the asset owners clearly have responsibility, and that includes Refining New Zealand, the fact that they didn't have a clear plan B for the provision of their service, but also the airport and the airlines. You know, I mean, they need to be considering as asset owners, you know, what are our critical supply lines and how resilient are they? And the fact that those issues hadn't been identified with a clear plan B and partnership with the refinery indicates a breakdown. And I think even at the centre, you know, central government agencies, I mean, MBIE did a report, they identified some of the risks, good on them for doing that. But then who was responsible to make sure that they issues that they identified were actually addressed? And the answer seems to be, well, nobody.
What role does government play in all of this? Because there was a report in 2012, and I see there was actually also a report in 2005 that there were some issues there.
So, I mean, I think, you know, I mean, clearly at the end of the day, the government has a responsibility to make sure that the social and economic infrastructure needs of the country are provided for. So accountability does always end up there. But, you know, as you quite rightly point out, there were reports back in 2005 under previous administrations. You know, the same issue was present back in 2005 as it was in 2012, so, and today. So, you know, I mean, ideally our view is that we need to have an independent entity called an infrastructure commission that has kind of NZ Inc. oversight of these issues, and I think ultimately that's the long-term strategic solution.
Thank you very much. That is Stephen Selwood, who is the Chief Executive of Infrastructure New Zealand. Just a couple of notes. If you are affected by the fuel shortage, here's some advice for you from Flight Centre. If you have a flight coming up, go to your airline's website to find out about cancellations or delays, etc. Your travel agent also will have information. So if you booked through an agent, you contact them. You make sure the airline has your up-to-date contact information so that they can get in touch in case your flight details change. If your flight gets cancelled, the airline has to try to get you on another available flight to your destination. If they're unable to do that, they need to give you a refund, of course. However, if you've booked a holiday and you miss your flight to, say, I don't know, Rarotonga or anywhere, and you lose out on a night's worth of accommodation, etc., the airlines won't refund you for that. That's when your travel insurance comes in. That's when that kicks in. If you don't have travel insurance, well, that should teach you a lesson, I suppose, if I may say so. It is now 5:15.